0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Stevie Clark is the new Scotland manager, leaving behind Kilmarnock in Europe. Celtic got their hands on the league trophy yesterday and now move on to the Scottish Cup final. And Alfredo Morelos scores what could be a farewell goal as Rangers end the season with a defeat in Ayrshire. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me this evening, Alex Ray and Hugh Keevans.
The miracle Steve Clark performed at Kilmarnock was to make the fans care about their team again. He reinvented the club by getting the support to rediscover their love for a side they deserted in their droves. Now he has to make a country care about its national team. He has to bring back the disillusioned, the disaffected and the downright bored. And he'll do that by doing what he did at Rugby Park. He'll build a football team worthy of the name. A great appointment.
Yeah, absolutely agree. We've been showcasing him, saying he was going to be the manager of the season. He won all the awards, Gordon. I think it's a popular decision as well with all the fans. We will speak about that. Celtic showcasing young Dembele. Kilmarnock into Europe as well for the first time in a long time. St Mirren into the playoffs. And I have to congratulate Hamilton Accies. What a tremendous achievement.
0141 951 1025. That is the number you need, so let's hear from you. And we are on Twitter as well, at Clyde SSB. Hugh Keevans on the field. It was a dramatic weekend. Yep. Stevie Clark's last act was to lead Kilmarnock into Europe, beating Rangers. Celtic, trophy day for them, a recognition of another excellent achievement. Karamoko Dembele, a glimpse into the future. What now then for the Scottish Cup final?
Well, it's a great way to bring the curtain down on what has been a significant season, I think. I think we're in a good place, Gordon. I like the appointment of Steve Clark to get the national team back into shape again. I like to see Karamoko Dembele and young Aaron Hickey, Celtic Hearts yesterday, and the other young players who were there, even those on the bench like Daniel Church and Armstrong Okoflex at Celtic. You know, I like all of what's going on. Terrific crowd at Kilmarnock, over 8,000 Kilmarnock supporters. Now, that was Steve Clark's doing. He brought back the love for the team. Everywhere I look in Scottish football this weekend, I see positivity, and I'm hoping that we can carry that forward into Saturday, have a magnificent cup final, and then look forward to Steve Clark against Cyprus on the 8th of June, and then the small matter of Belgium, the number one team in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, I think it's I think everyone's speaking about Steve Clark. I think, as I mentioned, Gordon was at the game yesterday. The atmosphere for the May 3 stands, I think every person who attended the match from a Kilmarnock point of view stayed, congratulated on the job he's done. It was absolutely remarkable, and it was epitomised the performance as well. They were dogged, they were organised, and if you can do that with Scotland, you'll have a chance.
Of course, we will look back on a dramatic weekend in Scottish football. Let's kick off with Stevie Clark though. Give us a call, 0141 951 1025. He is the new Scotland manager. 55-year-old's been appointed to take over from Alex McLeish, who was removed from his post in April. It's a 3-year contract, so that sees him through until the end of the World Cup qualifiers in 2022. And quite simply, we want to know what you think. Is it the right appointment, yes or no? If you think yes, what is he going to bring to the job? And if you think no, tell us who you think it should have been. Obviously, Kilmarnock fans, a sad day for you as well, so give us your insight into the man who will now lead the national team. 0141 951 1025. After leading Kilmarnock into Europe, Stevie Clark addressed the supporters on the pitch, I should say. He hinted he was on his way out of the club at the time, apologising that he couldn't win them a trophy in his time at Rugby Park.
The most important thing in any football club anywhere in the world is the supporters. And when I came here, we didn't have so many. We had a disconnect between the support, the board, the players. There was nothing, no togetherness. I said when I came in, together we are stronger. In my time at Kilmarnock Football Club, I'm sorry I didn't win you a trophy, but I'm telling you now, as I stand here in front of three stands with Kilmarnock supporters, bye-bye Rangers. And next season, make sure when they come, it's bye-bye Celtic as well. Because this is Kilmarnock, this belongs to you. And the most important thing, I said no trophy. For me, I take this. This is my trophy, thank you.
people are taking offence at this, bye-bye Rangers and bye-bye Celtic, but he didn't mean to be disrespectful. He's talking about the increase in home support that Kilmarnock have had since Steve Clarke became the manager there, and it has been a significant increase. And he simply wants to see the club go forward, working from this new base that they have. The disconnect that he spoke about also applies to Scotland and the supporters of the national team who have disappeared in their droves because of the disconnect. They are disillusioned, they are disaffected, and he has to do what he did at Kilmarnock. He has to make Scotland fans care about Scotland again and come back to watching the team.
Quite easy to understand how you do that, Alex. You win football games.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Cyprus, you know, is a perfect example of that. I feel as if, you know, you can galvanise them. There would most certainly be an uplift in the crowd. As I said, that would be a popular appointment. And if you can get off to a winning start, Gordon, you just never know. Because the one thing about him, when Belgium come to town, all being they're a top, top outfit, he will have them organised and he will make it very difficult for them to win that.
01419511025. We've got a new Scotland manager. That's always a big day when those types of things happen. So let us know what you think. Alan is first up. Alan is in Irvine. Good appointment for you, Alan.
Absolutely, yeah. I think he was the only natural appointment, I would think. I know Derek McInnes was support in the lineup as well, but I think just in terms of what Steve Clarke, I think, will bring to Scotland is he'll make his harder team to beat. I think he'll look at getting the right types of players into each position, because I think for a long time we've not really had massive amounts of potential coming through. I think he's the type of guy that will go and find boys that are playing at some of the smaller teams in Scotland, maybe even down the Championship as well. We had in James that we've maybe missed out on. And I think it's the best appointment we could have got, because I think he's got a bit more tactical nous about him than what Derek McInnes has. But that's just my opinion. Other people might think differently. But I think what he will do is he'll bring through some boys that you wouldn't think that maybe necessarily have got some time under other managers and things like that. So I think it's exciting for the future point.
First of all, to be fair to Derek McInnes, he had already distanced himself from the job by saying that he felt that he was still too young and that he would have missed the day-to-day contact with players that he has at Aberdeen. So with regard to Steve Clarke, you're right, he ticks all the boxes. He has been our manager of the season for the last two seasons. He has transformed Kilmarnock on the park as well as off the park, and he's done that by getting together players who, when you look at them individually, you think, wow, that, you know, he's made a terrific team out of individuals that you might not have imagined would have made such a good team. And the third top finish this season, first time for who knows how long, 53 years, you know, that speaks volumes for the job he's done.
Alan, I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Alan, we're about to find out over the next 2 hours, but it seems like a popular choice. And that doesn't mean to say he will go on and is guaranteed to be a success, but isn't it nice for a country who doesn't have its pick of managers and who is so split usually over things that most people seem to be quite pleased with the appointment?
Yeah, and yeah, as you say, after, I don't think you're going to get MD, it's going to come on and have a negative view of him, because just purely for what he's done at Kilmarnock, that's pure and simple as that. Do you know what I mean? He's done a terrific job. So he's got them to where they are. I've got a few friends that are Kilmarnock supporters, and the budget's coming out of them's exciting. I mean, they're quite right. It's great for them. It's just an exciting time. Like, when Alex McLeish got the job, it was like there was the common thing everybody was, oh, we're not going to do it, and he's no. I think what Steve Clarke's got is he's got a very good tactical knowledge of the game, so I think that'll benefit the Scotland team as well. And I was just wanting one other point, just as these guys were saying about young boys getting through Celtic. Obviously young Dembele, he's always coming through there. I'm a Rangers fan, by the way, and obviously likes a young Harry Cochran last season coming through at Hearts. I think it was great for Rangers getting young Dapo Mabudi on as well. I think he's been doing really well in the youth squad. Hopefully now, next season, he's got a wee taste of that. Some of the other guys will maybe start getting a wee bit more time in the team, do you know what I mean? Because we do have, you see the especially the Glasgow Cup final and things like that, there's, from Celtic and from Rangers and for our team in Scotland, there's some cracking young talent there. So the future does my opinion, I think looks good for teams in the top flight. But I don't know what you guys would think about that.
Yeah, you mentioned a couple of names there, Dembele. You mentioned young boy Cochrane. You mentioned Mabudi come on yesterday as well. And then you look at Rangers and Celtic across the board. You know they're starting to blood young guys consistently. You look at Motherwell as well. Turnbull, the emergence of him, remarkable. So you know, I seen a young boy, is it Murphy from Hibs, Murray from Hibs.
Fraser Murray. Oof,
yeah. He looked lively as well. So there is these young guys emerging, Gordon, and they have potential. But to get to that international level, they have to make a really big jump. They have to make a big impact at club level, and this is really the first rung in the ladder for a lot of these guys. But when you see that talent, it's encouraging.
I mean, Hugh, you can't please everyone, and that's healthy, by the way. It's good to have a wide range of opinions. But this appointment feels very different from the Alex McLeish one, and that's no slight on Alex McLeish. And again, by the way, Stevie Clark, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know how much of a success he's going to be. But at the moment, on the day of the appointment, it feels different. That feels like there's generally an air of optimism.
Those who think positively will agree with you. There are always, always, always others who are disappointed if they're not disappointed. So they're not worth bothering about.
That's okay though. I mean, everyone's got their opinion.
We have to go on from here. And 21 years, as everyone knows, since we last played at a major tournament. And there has been a gradual disconnect, to use Steve Clark's word, between the Scotland fans and the Scotland team. And now we have someone in place who we can trust, who has the contacts, who has everything about him, the pedigree to take us forward. And I think it is a good move that the SFA have made.
01419511025. Thank you, Alan and Irvin. James Forrest was the International Player of the Year at the Scottish Football Writers Awards last night. He says the Scotland squad will be excited about the appointment of Stevie Clark. He thinks it's a good time for him to come into the job, and believes he does have a good squad to choose from.
It's a big name, and I think all the boys definitely will be excited for that. How well he's done with Kilmarnock the last couple of years, and obviously down in England and that as well. So I think if he gets it, then I think everyone, it's a really exciting time for Scotland.
Because there are big games coming up, obviously. Important to get back on track in the group.
Yeah, he's come in at a critical time. I think we've got two big games in the summer, which everyone's looking forward to. And obviously after this campaign, they've got the Nations League as well. So no, I think everything's going to be a lot of competition for places, and I think that will be good for the new manager.
The feeling, the accusation, and by the way, it might not have been a fair one, but the accusation was that the players recently have not been that bothered, and we needed someone who could make them bothered and can make them turn up and can make them play through, you know, slight not injury issues, whatever it may be. Does Stevie Clark have the personality, the pedigree to be that man?
Gordon, it all comes down to results and how you're performing and things. When things were getting a wee bit tough there for me, there was players ducking out of things, and that tells you more about them as well, you know, because it's not just a thing particularly towards Big Alec. For me, it tells you a lot about these players are going, nah, we'll just stay there, we don't fancy the long trips. And you have to weed them out, because see, going forward, a lot of these guys are not really committed in the long term. You have to get guys that are going to buy into Steve Clark's philosophy, the way he thinks. And an encouraging thing is James Forrest came out last night and said it'll be a popular appointment, and there's good players there, so there's a belief right away from Scotland's top player this year.
There's going to be a bit of old school management here, because if Steve Clark detects that you're not fully committed to playing for your country, you won't be asked. So we will see a difference, Gordon, when it comes to that kind of thing. Players have far too easily opted out of playing for the national team. They'll opt out for good if they disappoint Steve Clark.
And I guess that means then he has to get right at it, Alex, because you're saying about, you know, results are the most important thing, but unfortunately there's work to be done before you get the chance to make results. He's going to have to attract people into the squad at a very difficult time of the season and hope that everyone turns up.
Yeah, well, because it's the start of something new, Gordon, if you actually approach them now, try and suss out, Hugh's right, he's absolutely right. He'll go and touch base with certain players, he'll make contacts, he'll speak to the managers, he'll find out where they are fitness wise. He needs to get a backroom team as well, because over the next couple of weeks, Gordon, they're going to have to come up with a schedule of preparation for this double header. They're also going to have to watch games as well, because they have been managing up here. So it's important to see players who are in form. So have to watch a lot of footage from guys from down south. He'll have to get his network in terms of scouting up to speed as well.
Chester is in Govan Hill. What do you think of that appointment, Chester?
It's a good appointment, but my point is you still got to suspect deserved that one match ban?
No. The answer to that is no.
How can you make that decision, Mr. Gavins?
Well, because
it doesn't carry into international football.
No, it doesn't carry into international football. It's as simple as that.
Well, good luck to the man, but I'm disappointed in that. I'd like to see them in the stands. There'll be another punt on the stand because we'll not get many a crowd, have we?
Well, that's true, Hugh. The next thing is to try and attract a crowd to this game because it is a difficult time of year, as we said.
Well, yeah, of course, but there will be a fresh optimism among supporters. Put it this way. There'll be more people inclined to go now than there were 24 hours ago.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. But if did I understand Chester
correctly?
Yeah,
he said he's
unhappy that Steve Clark won't be in the stands.
We said there'd be an extra punter sitting in the stands because we'd be struggling for a crowd. Chester,
I'm not sure, Gordon. I think there'll be a wee uplift. I think the Tartan Army will get behind Stevie Clark. As we said, most people, it's a popular choice.
Chester, was he the standout candidate for the job?
Chester, I think that you are typical of those, as I said, those who are disappointed if they're not disappointed. Nobody else would take it. There'd be a queue to take it.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest, Stevie Clark's stock is high.
Yeah,
I know there was a perception, and everyone always said to us, and when Alex McLeish left, they would phone and say, it's a poison chalice. Who's going to take it? You're only going to get someone whose stock's low, who's desperate for a job. Stevie Clark's stock's not low.
No. You know, it's that negativity that people feel they must have. Show them a decision and they'll be negative about it.
I'm sorry, Hugh, I'm led to believe that there was a lot of heavy hitters were interested in this job. A lot of guys that were older, been round the block as well. Yeah. People putting their name in the hat for this job. It's not a case of that. And see, if you want a manager who's on the front foot in terms of where he is, he very much fits that bill.
Well, Chester's just made the comment, nobody else would take it. I mean, it's nonsense. It's just transparent nonsense. And it's the glib negativity that people come out with because they can't think of anything else to say.
0141 951 1025. We're going to try and speak to someone, a player who knows Stevie Clark better than most. I'm not making any promises because he's on his way to the airport to go on his holidays.
Wow.
But I'm going to speak to him next, I think. Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation. They know the score. Talk to Thompsons.com. Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We're on the phones. We're on Twitter at Clyde SSB. By the way, head over to that Twitter feed right now at Clyde SSB. You will see a video of Gordon DL recreating a famous goal celebration. And in the second hour of tonight's show, we're going to be giving away an excellent prize thanks to Key Store. If you can tell us which player's celebration he is impersonating. So head to that Clyde SSB, check it out, and get in touch when the time is right. Now, I'm pleased to say we are joined on the line by Kilmarnock and Scotland defender Stephen O'Donnell. So he clearly knows Stevie Clark well, knows what's to be expected. How are you, Stephen?
I'm good, Gordon. Yourself?
Good, thank you. And Hugh Keevans, what about the commitment to the cause? His season's over, he's in a car on his way to the airport to go on his holidays and still taking the time.
The choice was Ambry Solaire or Super Scoreboard, and Stephen chose Super Scoreboard.
I'm actually getting chauffeured in by my friend who's kind of wiping up his wound after we finished third ahead of him, Michael Devlin from Aberdeen. So
that's going to be a nice holiday.
If I finished fourth, I'd have chauffeured him, but sadly he didn't. I mean, I just managed to do enough. Just enough contact.
That's what you call magnanimous.
Rubbing it in on live on radio. Anyway, Stephen, obviously the big news today, you may or may not reveal how long you've known about it, but it's confirmed today. What do you make of it?
I think it's obviously a sad loss for Kilmarnock. I think he had obviously an outstanding 2 years. Been great for the fans, been great for the club as a whole, and every player has developed under him. For Scotland as a country, obviously, I had a great relationship with the old manager. I was disappointed when he left, but I think Steve Clark certainly has every single attribute I think you would need to take Scotland forward and hopefully into the Euros.
Everyone's been admiring the results, obviously. They speak for themselves, but having been in the dressing room, having been on the training ground, what specifically is it? What type of manager is he? What is he going to bring to the national setup?
We'll be organised. We'll be hard to beat, and you come to Hampden, you'll definitely struggle to get a victory. And whenever we start to get maybe a couple of wins, then we'll start to play maybe some more confidence, and you'll hopefully see some top performances. I think that's something I had to Kilmarnock, is that the first we get regimented, we got our jobs drilled into us, and then from then on, when we started to get the results, you then start to get a wee bit more confident and a bit more comfortable in your surroundings and knowing what each other's doing. I think that's the crucial thing. And I think that's where the old manager kind of struggled, is the number of players that called off and the injuries from squad to squad. So hopefully, if the new manager can get some consistency with his selections, that will be a big help to him. And I'm sure he'll be able to make the most of it if he does.
I guess man management is a key part of that then. What type of man manager is he? Is he arm round the shoulder? Is he kick up the backside? Is he a bit of both?
He's probably a bit of neither, to be honest. He doesn't really... He's approachable, but unapproachable. That's the most ridiculous things ever. Like, you're scared of him because you don't want to go and knock on his door. But when you knock on his door, for whatever, whether it's personal, football, he's the nicest guy ever when you knock on that door and you go in. But leading up to that door, you're never so nervous. It's horrendous. But no, he's someone that I think will make big decisions. The Scotland job for the past 3-4 years has had a lot of big decisions needed to be made, and he'll certainly not shy away from them. And as I said, I think he's just got, he'll tell the boys how he wants to play, and they can get on board or don't come, basically. I think it'll be as ruthless as that.
Stephen, he hit the ground running at Rugby Park. You were bottom of the league when Steve Clark took over. 2 seasons later, your highest league position for 53 years. But do the Scottish public in general have to understand that if the national team has been out of major tournaments for 21 years, the national team won't be fixed in 21 days?
It's going to be difficult, and that's where the manager managed to get a quick turnaround in Kilmarnock, but you can't guarantee that's going to happen again with Scotland. I hope it does, and I hope I'm involved in it, but this could take a good couple of camps. You're not getting to spend every day with the boys, and as I said, the squad can change through no fault of his own the following game. So I think patience is always needed. I think it's needed from fans and for every club team and every national team. But I think if he's given the time, hopefully he doesn't need it. But if he gets the time, I'm sure that if it's not this Euros, I think the World Cup, I certainly think we'd have a good chance.
I mean, you obviously know him, Stephen. You know him well, and you know the group of players that he's going to come in and work with. Does that seem like they will mix well?
I certainly hope so. I think I'm not qualified enough to really say if we're going to be able to mix well. If I could say that, I'd be the manager myself. So I just know that if he managed to get the best out of the players he had at Kilmarnock, and I dare say that there's a lot of boys with a much higher calibre of player than he had at his disposal at Kilmarnock, so hopefully we'll be able to get even better results out of those. You look at like Andy Robertson and Ryan Fraser playing in the Premiership. So hopefully if he's got those types of players who he's worked with before, obviously in his career as manager and then obviously assistant at Liverpool and Chelsea and whatnot, he's certainly got all the credentials to get the best out of every single type of player. He'll have the golfing class from the Andy Robertsons to myself if I'm selected. So he'll need to... No, but it's just... It's a squad full of different types of players and different strengths. It was... Charlie McGrew, whenever he was the last squad I was in with him, was saying it's like everybody plays a different style of football at their club. And it's true. It's about coming together and getting together as a team and a nation and putting in performances and getting together and being a good team. And that's what I hope the manager will get.
Stephen, he leaves behind a tremendous base for the next manager to work from at Rugby Park. Lots of people will, however, take the assumption that, now that Stevie Clark's gone, it'll all fall apart. It's your responsibility and that of the other players to ensure that is not the case.
No, definitely. Well, I think one of the things that's maybe gone on under the radar a wee bit that he's achieved is, I think we've got a couple of boys in loan that have played, but the chunk of that team is under contract. So see if the gaffer, albeit, the legacy, he has left a team in place that can play, and it means worst case the club's going to get money for players who have performed very well. You look at Stuart Finlay, Greg Taylor, Jordan Jones obviously got his move, but other than Jordan Jones, nobody else is out of contract that has been, say, playing every week. Obviously, Yusuf's gone back to Celtic, but it's a very strong position. You look across the league, there's lots of other teams losing a lot of players. So I think we've got a real chance to continue what we've got or what we've had the last couple of years, but there's no doubt it's a big task for the next manager. But the last game there was, what, about 12,000? Was it 12,500, I think? And it was incredible. It was the best atmosphere I've played in at Rugby Park, and it's certainly a far more attractive job than it would have been. Albeit you've maybe got a wee bit more expectation on you, but I'm excited for the next year and who'll come in.
Stephen, in terms of the new manager, do you think Alex Dyer would be a potential popular choice?
I think the boys all love him, but yeah. I don't even know what he's going to do. I don't know if he went with the manager. I'm not too sure.
We're just talking about in terms of continuity. You mentioned all the players there, and you know, under contract. Alex Dyer's very well regarded down there, so you know, in terms of continuity, it may well be.
Oh yeah, no. I certainly would think he'd be in the thought if he's available. I certainly think the board would be maybe, not off the head. That's a big statement, but just he certainly should be for consideration. But again, the board got the manager right the last time, so. Hopefully they'll do the same again, and whoever that is, you know, the players will do everything they can for him, and hopefully it's enough to continue the success of Kilmarnock.
Just before we let you go then, you said he can be quite scary to approach. Does that mean you're not going to be pestering him to make sure he gives you a call up?
I was trying to pester him last night. If I knew for definite he had the job, I'd have been all over him at the sports writers. But I was maybe a bit too shy. I don't know if shy fits into my personality, but I was maybe a bit too shy to go up and man-mark him, but I've done a better job than Berisic in the Sunday.
By the way, about that, you were getting a bit of stick for throwing yourself to the ground too easily, according to the Rangers manager. So
it's good to nibble back occasionally. You know, I mean, that's I should have had a penalty at Parkhead 2 weeks ago.
And
I heard I got a 9.8 from a dive. So I wonder how many points Morelos got during our game. Never mind every week. So. You know, it was good to be part of it. We got a decision, which I do think is a penalty. You might disagree. I went theatrically down, but it's a penalty, in my opinion.
You went down theatrically. You're admitting this, are you?
I didn't get it, Pat Ken. I didn't. I went down the way he pushed me, so I got it. I got a big decision that we deserved. So I'm not going to. Apologise for that. There's nothing to apologise for. He pulled me so.
Anyway, we'll leave it there because you are on your way to the airport. You're probably there already. So enjoy the holiday. Thanks for taking your time.
No, thanks very much. Take care,
Steve.
Have a good summer.
Bye. That was Stephen O'Donnell on his way to the airport with Aberdeen's Michael Devlin that they finished above them.
If I was Mikey Devlin, there'd be a boundary charge when he got to the airport.
Well, it's nothing quite like it.
Sounded excited. I think he was just on holiday mode there.
I was just saying to you, chaps, prior to him coming on air there, the relief and, you know, the kind of, you know, you're going to get a wee break before probably going back into the Scotland international setup. And, you know, it's very much deserved.
I think what you said there made a lot of sense. You know, he is also asking everyone to understand that, you know, Stevie Clark's not going to come in, beat Cyprus and then go to Brussels and beat Belgium, the number one team. This will take time.
Archie's in Shawlands. Good appointment or not, Archie?
It's a good appointment, guys. To see in international terms, Stevie Clark's appointment to Scotland manager is as big as when Celtic got Brendan Rodgers. That's how big it is for our national team, because we've had managers that have been totally useless. No disrespect to our last manager, Alan McLeish. I mean, even as a fan, you weren't confident watching him. So I don't know what like a player was. But with Stevie Clark, we've got a manager that knows the game inside out. And the most important thing about Stevie Clark is, because at the moment, guys, we've not got good players in our team. We might have three or four quite decent players, and the rest are all very average in my opinion. So Stevie Clark is the kind of manager that can get the best out of these kind of players, the average ones, and they can play well and good. Which we need to get back into these competitions. And we certainly don't need idiots phoning up to say you only got the job because nobody else wanted it. Honestly.
Well, we know that's not the case. Plenty of people would have wanted it. Steve Clark was the SFA's first choice. And you're right, the job of a manager is to make good players even better. And that's what he seems to do, yeah.
Yeah, listen, you have to give him credit. You look at some of the players and the level that they've hit, the consistency. And he's absolutely right, actually. We were at an event last night, and a former Scotland manager says, with the greatest respect to the current crop, they are not nowhere near the level that he had at his disposal when they were qualifying for tournaments. And he was absolutely right, Hugh. It's about finding the right balance, trying to find a striker for somewhere who's going to lead the country forward to score them important goals.
Archie, is the hope that he replicates, and obviously I'm not talking about results, I'm talking about specifically what he did with Kilmarnock in terms of getting the most out of that group of players. Do you think that's something that can be done at an international level? It's a very different type of job with no day-to-day contact.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. International football is completely different to club football. As I said, you look at the players to take on the likes of England, Argentina's, Brazil's and all that, Belgium, Spain's. But at least we've got a manager that could be hopefully like Craig Brown used to be, make it hard to beat and get into these competitions. Because I just feel a bit more confident now. And as a caller said before as well, we've got some young boys coming through. And these young boys are good players, you've seen them. These Hearts boys were good against the Celtic. And these Celtic boys are coming through as well. Mm. And Rangers players as well. So it's looking good. And we've got a good manager now. So let's get behind them and stop slagging them off, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm all for optimism and looking at that younger younger group and seeing what's coming here. But at the same time, the Stevie Clark's job at the moment is probably not about those guys. It's about the ones that we know about. There might be the odd one that you've not thought of, but probably it is still about the group of guys that are there.
Without a doubt, and Archie's absolutely right. He will have to come in with this group of players. Some of them have not been allowing themselves to be picked. They've juked out of responsibility. But ultimately, he has to get a shape. Everybody buying into it. And it was interesting listening to Stephen O'Donnell there when he was talking about the amount of time it will take, the time, the preparation to actually incorporate that style of play in these guys.
All our problems came to a head one afternoon in Kazakhstan. There were withdrawals from the squad. Those who played underachieved and were intimidated by a side who were far beneath them in the world rankings. And so we lost, and lost in a humiliating fashion. This is the equivalent now of Steve Clark coming in to Rugby Park on day one and finding the team bottom of the league. Things can only get better.
01419511025 to give us a call. I want to tell you about this though.
Finish the season with a win on Clyde One Super Scoreboards with Ladbrokes. Download the app and have a bookie in your back pocket. Please gamble responsibly.
Yes, as you know, the football season comes to an end this weekend with the Scottish Cup final. Now on Saturday's Super Scoreboard, think of it as an end of season thank you to you. We're teaming up with the sponsors of the SPFL, Ladbrokes.com, to make you a winner. Tune in on Scottish Cup final day. We'll give you the chance to win hospitality for four people to an Old Firm game of your choice next season. Not a bad prize at all, I'm sure you'll agree. So finish the season with a win, and you could also pick up some signed Celtic or Rangers merchandise. Listen and win this Saturday on Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, a team that gets results every week. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Alex Ray and Hugh Keevans are here, so give us a call or tweet us at Clyde SSB. On the day Stevie Clark was announced as the new Scotland manager, Kilmarnock fans, I've not heard from you. I don't know if you're in mourning over the loss, because he clearly had a great impact at your team. But let us know, give us an insight into what he brought. And I suppose it's already a case of who next for Kilmarnock. Let's go straight back on the line though. Josh is in Irvine. Hi Josh.
How are we doing?
Not too bad. How are you? Happy with Stevie Clark's appointment?
Absolutely over the moon, guys. Buzzing. Absolutely buzzing.
What in particular is cause for your buzz?
Well, 3 weeks, two weeks on Saturday, we've got the Cyprus game. Then we need to wake up early the next day to drive to Manchester to get a flight over to Belgium. Mm-hmm. And I've been really looking forward to the trip and the date and the home game, obviously for a while. But this now, I'm actually looking forward to it for the football. but you know, I was on before after Alec left. And I said that I'd hoped it would be Stevie Clark get the job, because he seems like a bit of a Walter Smith type figure. And I was quite heartened to hear Chris Boyd today talking about how it'll be Steve Clark's way or the highway in terms of call-ups. You know, we'll not be seeing any of this feigning injury and then coming back up to squads and coming back and forth and that. If you want to play, come and play. If you don't, then hit the road. Really, really happy with it, that kind of aspect of it. And I'll not be surprised, to be honest, if we start to see a couple of the players that have been, you know, feigning injury and kind of hemming and hawing about whether or not to get called up or not, start to come out of the woodwork, because there will be a buzz. I mean, in his speech yesterday to the Kelly fans, Steve Clarke talked about how when he arrived at Kelly, there was a disconnect between the fans, the board, and everything to do with that club. I mean, that situation sounds very similar to what we have going at the national setup right now.
Well, Alec Gordon and myself sat at the Football Writers Association dinner last night and listened to Craig Brown as he received his Lifetime Achievement Award. And Craig Brown, when Scotland manager, used to say, "I want volunteers, I don't want conscripts." And that will be the case under Steve Clarke. If you're in any way half-hearted with playing for your country, you won't be asked.
Yeah, Alex, this, and again, this is not to say that previous managers haven't been, but I'm not comparing, I'm just talking about Stevie Clarke. He seems extremely headstrong,
yeah,
principled, all of those things. And you can imagine, as Stephen O'Donnell mentioned on the phone, him making some, you know, big decisions if he has to.
Gordon, he has a presence about him. He has a character and a personality that people are a wee bit kind of afraid, but they also give him that respect. And in some respects, he is an old school manager. When you used to go and see managers, the caller Josh mentioned Walter Smith there, you were scared to go and see him. And then when you did go and get it, it was the arm round you. He managed in the correct manner. And again, but it's the whole ingredients. So you've got a manager who has a fear factor. He won't tolerate nonsense. He can organise a team, and it's just about trying to get a winning formula. And I think when you look back at his Kilmarnock record, you get a couple of positive results early doors, and that allowed him to build on that. And if he can do that with Scotland, get the punters behind him, and Josh is actually excited about going over to Belgium. So, you know, so that's the uplift you're getting right away by this appointment.
Josh puts it in a lovely way. He was looking forward to going to Brussels for the jolly. Now he's actually looking forward to Brussels because of the football.
We'll kill two birds with one stone here. Josh, take your Scotland hat off, put your Rangers hat on, because I know you're also a Rangers fan. Let's hear from Steven Gerrard. He was the last manager to take on Stevie Clarke domestically, and he accepts responsibility for the loss because of the changes he made, but he's not happy with individual mistakes. He also says the late penalty they conceded was soft, and as we touched on with Stephen O'Donnell, says he looked as if he was diving into a swimming pool.
You know, I'll take responsibility for it. You know, I made the changes in certain areas. I thought the performance was okay in general. You know, I can't fault the effort or the will to try and win the game. But again, it was a deja vu moment where two individual mistakes have really hurt us and damaged us. So it's obviously disappointing to lose the game the way we did. But I can't be too critical of the players. You know, they've gave me a lot this season, and we have to learn and move on for next season. I thought it was a good game of football today. You know, a decision at the end decided the outcome of the game. Everyone will have their opinion on that. I don't mind.
Any complaints about it?
I'm not going to get nothing for complaining, am I? But I think it's very soft. I think there's minor contact, and someone who's 6'3", probably 83 kilos, has gone over as if he's diving into a swimming pool, but there's nothing we can do about it now.
Stephen O'Donnell, by his own admission, said that, yeah, he probably did go down theatrically. Was it still a penalty? Because both can happen, yeah, can't they?
Gordon, see if you, whatever fan you're connected with of a club, if someone pulls your top, automatically you shout, "That's a penalty." Now, the actual reality is, you see it time after time that it's not given, and he has thrown himself. So I can understand why the referee's given it, because he's clearly pulled his top. Was there enough to actually have that reaction from that player, which ultimately got Willie Colum to give the penalty? But the problem was that Barisic was in such a poor position.
And not for the first time.
Absolutely, Gordon.
That afternoon.
Well, the thing is, if you look at the first goal, and again, we praised young Kamara last week. And this is the interesting thing is, because people are going to cotton on to Kamara because he likes to take a touch. He likes to do one way, go the other way. And when you're pressing at Hugh, the key thing is not to commit yourself. Malumbu did it brilliantly. And then the ball to Chrissy Burke, his touch and his finish was excellent.
It's funny to hear the players take on it, you know, because at the time, Stephen O'Donnell says he was denied a certain penalty at Celtic Park. And I believe he's absolutely correct. I remember saying at the time, for me, that's a penalty, a straightforward shove in the back. But he did not go down in a way that would have made the referee think twice. So he's saying to himself, the next time that happens to me, now I know that fans will say, that's cheating. And no, it's what you're making the referee make a decision.
Josh, what did you make of the game yesterday?
It was all right. I suppose you've got to take more of a pragmatic look at it as a Rangers fan and think, well, was the penalty soft? Yeah, it probably was. Gerrard, they made five changes. You know, the result made no difference to the Rangers' eventual standing. It certainly meant Aberdeen have got lesser chance of getting Europe now, which I'm happy with, because I don't think they deserve Europe. I think Kelly probably do deserve Europe. Gerrard made those five changes. I think I'm not saying they went out to lie down, but I think the players maybe went out with a view of, you know, the season's by, let's go out and play this game, but, you know, it's not really going to make any difference at the end of the day. So, if you're a Rangers fan and you're honest with yourself, you're probably saying to yourself, well, I'm not really that bothered.
Okay, well, let's hear again from Steven Gerrard, who was delighted Alfredo Morelos got his 30th of the season. He says they've only received one bid for the striker since he took over, and he's also hinting a move for Greg Stewart is edging closer.
Again, it's a great finish. It's a striker's poacher's goal, and I think his all-round level this season deserves 30 goals, so very pleased for him. But I think, well, I'm hoping he's learnt a lot, certainly from the last 4 or 5 weeks. That's what we should all be talking about, Alfredo, for goals and good play and good typical number nine play, rather than talking about the discipline side of it. So I think it's good for him to go away remembering a goal rather than the last 4 weeks. He's on a 4-year contract. We've had one bid for Alfredo since I've been the Rangers manager, and it was for €3 million. So would you expect to see him, if you and me?
Suggestions today that you've agreed a deal for Greg Stewart. Are you able to give us any indication of that?
Yeah, watch this space.
There's been so much fascination surrounding Alfredo Morelos, yep, because of the goals, because of the discipline, because of the interest, the reported interest. Will he leave? How much will it be for? What did you make of Steven Gerrard there confirming that in his time, so since last summer, there's only been one, yes, bid, and it's been of €3 million?
Well, listen, I think there's been some big figures thrown at him. I think the Chinese club were led to believe it was about £8 million that they put an offer in before he actually got there, Steven Gerrard. If you take, I actually think it was quite honest for him to actually throw that out there. He didn't need to do that. If you're Steven Gerrard, you probably think to yourself, I suggested you want to keep your main players. If you're getting a guy that's scoring 30 goals, if you can get on top of the discipline, which is obviously the other side of things, you then have a guy that has another 9 or 10 games to contribute more than that 30 goals. His overall game's improving. And for me, if Rangers, you want to try and keep your best players, Gordon. And, you know, I think it was an important one as well to get the goal plus get the 30 goals for Morelos going into summer.
Only one thing matters to Rangers: stopping Celtic. Therefore, for me, Morelos stays.
Beat the Pundit. With goals in the Scottish Sun, the SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Beat the Pundit time. Your chance to take on Hugh Keevans or Alex Ray and win yourself a signed ball. But even if you don't win, we're giving you something just for getting through and coming on, because this Saturday the Guinness Pro 14 Rugby Final takes place at Celtic Park, and we've got local interest because the Glasgow Warriors are in it along with Leinster. The Warriors looking for their first title, of course, since 2015, and you could be cheering them on. All you have to do to win a pair of tickets to the game is get on to Beat the Pundit. You don't even need to get any questions right. So 0141 951 1025 right now, and hopefully we'll speak to you later, but you only have until the news at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, a team that gets results every week. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Alex Ray and Hugh Keevans are here. In the first hour of tonight's show, we kicked off by looking at the new Scotland manager, Stevie Clarke. We heard from him, we heard from Stephen O'Donnell, Kilmarnock and Scotland player, and we heard from Steven Gerrard looking back on yesterday's game at Rugby Park. So let's go to Trophy Day at Celtic. Karamoko Dembele, come on. Mikey Johnson was the star of the show. What about that yesterday? What about Neil Lennon? What about the Scottish Cup final? 01419511025. This first.
Beat the Pundit. With goals in the Scottish Sun, the SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Yes, Beat the Pundit time. Hugh and Alex are ready. One of them is up against Andrew from Mount Vernon. How are you tonight, Andrew?
Yeah, not bad, thanks. Yourself?
Good, thank you. And you're a winner already, of course. You don't even need to get any right. It can go drastically downhill from here, and you're still walking away with a pair of tickets to Saturday's Guinness Pro 14 rugby final at Celtic Park between Glasgow Warriors and Leinster. Are you happy with that?
Yeah, it's perfect. It's my wife's birthday on Saturday, though, so I'll probably take
her. A freebie.
You're an old romantic, Andrew. Who says romance is dead? Let's see if you can get a signed ball as well. Hand it over with the tickets.
I love you, darling.
Hedge, you're up against Hugh Keevans. And Tails, you're up against Alex Ray. And it's Tails, Alex, against Andrew. So let me give Alex some Clyde 2 and make sure he can't hear us. He's giving me the thumbs up. Andrew, you have got 30 seconds. Head to head, you can pass. Here is your chance to beat the pundit. Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay, let's do it. Who scored Rangers' only goal in the 2-1 loss to Kilmarnock?
Morella.
Joe Chalmers is set to sign for which club from Inverness?
Motherwell.
How many Scotland caps does Stevie Clark have?
Six.
Which German team has Dedric Boyata signed for?
Hertha Berlin.
Kenny Shields managed which Scottish side between 2013 and 14?
Dunfermline.
Gordon Strachan played for Aberdeen and which other Scottish club?
Aberdeen.
And where did Celtic's Tom Boyd begin his playing career?
Chelsea, Motherwell.
Stuart's inquiry on whether what your first attempt was there. We'll get the producer to give me the nod. Anyway, Alex Ray's back. Are you ready, Alex?
Yes.
Right, same set of questions to you, shall we?
Sure.
Who scored Rangers' only goal in the 2-1 loss to Kilmarnock? Joe Chalmers is set to sign for which club from Inverness?
Ross County.
How many Scotland caps does Stevie Clark have?
One.
Which German team has Dedric Boyata signed for?
Hertha Berlin.
Kenny Shields managed which Scottish side between 2013 and 2014? Gordon Strachan played for Aberdeen and which other Scottish
clubs?
Where did Celtic's Tom Boyd begin his playing career?
Motherwell.
And number 8, which team is nicknamed the Blue Brazil?
Cowdenbeath.
Okay. What do you think of the competition, Andrew?
I think he's done me.
Do you think so? You were both pretty good. You both sounded confident. First one, we sounded confident, whether that was meant or not. Who scored Rangers' only goal? It was Morelos. You both got it 1-1. Joe Chalmers is crossing the divide. The El Kessico. Hugh Keevans. Yes. He's going to Ross County from Inverness. Alex knew it. He goes into a 2-1 lead. Andrew equalised straight away. Was that a guess, Andrew, on the caps?
Yeah, well, I feel like I'd heard it somewhere, but I don't know where.
Six caps. Six. Well, you did hear it somewhere. Well done. So it's an equaliser for Andrew. You both knew Hertha Berlin was Dedric Boyata, so you're level on 3-all. You dived in a bit. Kenny Shields between 2013 and 14 was Morton. So it's still 3-all. Gordon Strachan played for Aberdeen and
Dundee.
It was Dundee. Where did Celtic's Tom Boyd begin his playing career? Andrew went Motherwell. I'm feeling generous. It's the end of the season, because you got it as well, Alex Ray. And you also got that Cowdenbeath was nicknamed the Blue Brazil. So there we go. It's 5 for Alex Ray and only 4 for Andrew. Andrew, the sign ball stays here. You're going to have to apologise to your wife for us, but you can take her for a nice romantic night at the rugby. Enjoy.
Perfect, thank you.
Well done, Andrew.
Good man. That was Andrew. Just for playing Beat the Pundit all week, your chance to go to the Guinness Pro 14 final at Celtic Park this Saturday. We'll be cheering on Glasgow Warriors, Leinster there as well. If you still want to get tickets, you can go to www.pro14rugby.org. And like I say, we'll do this all week. So there
brilliant.
We go. 0141 951 1025. Trophy day at Celtic Park, Hugh. What did we see? What did we learn?
In terms of the cup final, perhaps not very much, although Mikey Johnson's display in 2 goals may have put him into Neil Lennon's mind for the starting 11. He did nothing at Ibrox the previous weekend. However, he was out of position at Ibrox. I think we saw yesterday what he's capable of when he's in the right position. Karamoko Dembele, I think, will be on the bench at Hampden.
You think he will?
Yeah, I really do. You get 7 subs, you know, those who don't make it to the starting 11, perhaps like Scott Sinclair or Johnny Hayes, will be there, and there's room for Karamoko Dembele. Other than that, we learned that Neil Lennon brought stability to Celtic when Brendan Rodgers left, when there was scope for instability, and he deserves full praise and credit for getting 8 in a row over the line. That was his remit. He has done his job. If he wins the cup and therefore the treble, then that's icing on the cake. But the remit was to get 8 over the line, and he did so. For Hearts, the worry's Ollie Lee, on top of Ike Piazza being injured. Ollie Lee being out of the final on Saturday would be a blow for Craig Levein.
Yeah, absolutely. It was. It's always good to see young kids. Dembele's a talent, as I said, Gordon. I've seen him a couple of years ago. He's terrific. Mikey Johnson, again, they continue to produce decent kids. The couple of goals in which he produced as well. And that's exactly what you're looking for your academy. You know, we speak about what the Celtic need in the summer. So they'll look at the loan market. They will look at fees. But also they'll look to their academy as well. And these guys are doing themselves ever so good.
01419511025. Let's hear from you. Trophy day at Celtic yesterday. Neil Lennon says he enjoyed it. He was full of praise for Mikey Johnson's goal scoring performance, and he said the atmosphere made it feel a bit more like the Celtic Park he knows.
I enjoyed it immensely. Enjoyed the game, and obviously all the celebrations afterwards as well. It's great moments, you know, and really important for the players that they enjoy it, because it's a culmination of all their hard work and talent.
And nice to celebrate with that victory.
Yeah, I think it was important. We played really well second half, and Michael scored 2 outstanding goals, allied to having a great performance. So young boys did really well, and the players who have been sort of a bit rusty got some real valuable game time, and second half played very, very well. You got to find the balance. These Bankovic, Beaton, Incham, you know, Sinky, they all needed game time because they haven't had much recently, and it was important that they got the match sharpness and fitness and all the things you get from the game today, bearing in mind that they could be involved in the final next week.
I really enjoyed it, yeah.
No, I really enjoyed it. And it was felt more a bit like the Celtic Park. I know it was beautiful, and the atmosphere, everything about it today, the performance, the connection between the players and the fans was, yeah, I mean, it rolled back the years for me. It was great.
Hey, I met Neil last night at the Football Writers' Dinner. He was very relaxed, clearly had enjoyed his day, and perfectly at ease with the situation in which he finds himself, and that he's preparing Celtic for a cup final but doesn't know if he'll be the manager. So he's at ease with what's going on, and he knows it's only a matter of days anyway, because as soon as the final is over, Celtic must show their hand, because time is of the essence during the summer when so many players have to be shipped out, so many have to be brought in. So he is in a good place at the moment.
How many places are available in Celtic's Scottish Cup final team, Alex? Can anyone from yesterday have played their way in? Can Mikey Johnson? Has Dembele? Well, we'll get to him in a second. So let's go Mikey Johnson.
I think
Mikey
Johnson potentially could come off that left hand side, Gordon. If Tierney is fit, he will most certainly go into left back. The two centre halves take care of herself. The right back will probably be Lustig if he's fit as well. And then you've got your Brown in the middle of the park with McGregor. And then you have Forrest, Edward, Rogic probably, and the left hand side is very much up for grabs. And you know, it's that inconsistency over the course. So, but if you're looking at that boy there, match winner, scoring 2 goals, you think to yourself, he's got an opportunity here.
If you're James Forrest and you've absolutely cleaned up,
yes,
in terms of the awards, you're the PFA Scotland Player of the Year, Scottish Football Writers Association International Player of the Year, and the Domestic Player of the Year, you want to go out on a major high at Hampden on Saturday on what is such an important day for Celtic.
Neil Lennon was praising Karamoko Dembele. He says he got the crowd off their feet. He was praising his football intelligence, believing he's a big talent, but admitting they do need to develop him in the right way.
Brilliant. Just great to watch. And it's the type of player that you want at Celtic, you know. Gets a big crowd off their feet, and his football intelligence, you know, everyone talks about his skill, but his football intelligence was very, very good today. So delighted for him. Obviously we need to keep a lid on it, but yeah, it's great that the fans have seen a glimpse of the future as well.
You can sense they enjoyed it, didn't they, like cheering them on?
Yeah, it's a great time, you know, end of season, 45 minutes, great up. Look, the kid's 16, you know, we know how talented he is, and we just want to develop him in the right way. But he's been cheering with the first team. He's had a very good season with the development team, so I had no hesitation in giving him 45 minutes. There was always a plan to get him some game time anyway, but with Berkey going off, we just felt I'd just throw the kid in there and let him play.
Develop him in the right way, though. Does that mean that he could just say, nope, Scottish Cup final, don't think so. He's 16, he's played 45 minutes, out you come.
Well, he certainly won't start the match, but there's ample room on the bench for him. It's going to be such a huge day. And I realise there are two teams playing at Hampden, not just one. But it's a huge day. It's May 25, the most important date in Celtic's history. The supporters are already planning a display at the Celtic end of the ground. It's the treble at stake. Never been done in the history of Scottish football. It's the weight of history on Celtic's shoulders, but there is still room for Karamoko Dembele to be on that bench.
Gordon, sorry, I was just looking back at the previous game against Rangers, just to give you an example of the bench when Celtic have their full quarter. You've got Tolian, Benkovic, Ralston, Beaton, Sinclair and Nsham. So for me, there's not a lot of movement there. There may well be one or two injuries we don't know about. You know, Scott Brown's been potentially Lustig, Tierney. So, but they are really strong. So for the young boy to make that, but I think it was important for recognising what Neil said there in terms of protecting this kid as well, because obviously you want to get excited, but he is only 16.
The first thing Jim Duffy said as well was similar to Neil Lennon. Of course, the eye-catching thing is when you get the ball and you beat a few men and you get a shot away. But Jim was particularly impressed when he spoke on yesterday's show about the intelligence, the movement, the ability to spot the space and drop off into a space and pick a quick pass as well, and not always having to go and beat a man.
Gordon, I seen some footage of the kid last night on social media, and I was you're absolutely right. When he rode that tackle, he gets scythed in two. He's back up, he's cutting inside, he's having shots. But there was times when people were getting close to me, just popping it off first time, and that's a recognition of what's actually going on round about, your awareness. As I said earlier on, this kid's got an unbelievable opportunity to kick on.
John is a Celtic fan in Provan Mill. What did you make of yesterday, John?
Good evening, Gordon.
Hiya.
Alex.
Hi, John.
I'd just like to start, Gordon, as a wee message to my father who passed away 5 weeks ago. He was a great listener to the show, loved the football. And Hugh, a wee credit to your brother Frank, who's with my dad, so you know what I'm talking about.
Sorry to hear that, John. Well, on behalf of us all, we hope our thoughts are with you all.
Okay, cheers. A great appointment for Scotland, I think, with Steve Clark. Now, this is a question I want to ask you. I think Steve Clark, speaking to Scott Brown, could bring him back out of retirement, with international retirement, put him back in that team, because he's got lots to offer. And I think a man like Steve Clark is a man to bring Scott Brown back into the fold.
I have to say, I just do not think that's a possibility. I think Scott decided to go because he knows that he can only play club football now. If he wants to play club football well, he can't mix it with international football at the same time, because club football means 4 qualifying rounds in the Champions League, and it means a hefty season where Celtic are going for 9 in a row in terms of the league. So I don't think that Scott Brown could be coaxed back into international football, because he knows his body can't take it.
I mean, John, that would be for a second time. Does that not make it highly unlikely?
No, I think it's... honestly, I think we're missing out here with Scott Brown's experience. I mean, was he 33 just now? A guy has experience in the Scotland squad. I think, again, previous callers talking about Steve Clark will bring the best out in players. I think he will bring the best out in players. I've never been at a Scotland game in my life. I'm considering going now, because Steve Clark's been appointed the Scotland manager. But I think I'd like to see guys like Scott Brown coming back to the Scotland team. And, I mean, that's my opinion. I would love to see that happen. I think Steve Clark's the man who could actually speak to Scott Brown and put him back in that international scene.
But it's not a reluctance to play for his country. It's an understanding and appreciation of the fact that his body can't do it. You know, he's come out of international football because he wants to help Celtic continue to win trophies, and he knows that with the heavy European schedule into the bargain, he can't do international football anymore.
Not for me either, John. I just don't see him coming out of international retirement. I think he's played 50 games this season, Scott Brown. He'll be 34 in the summer, I think. He's a couple of months away from his 34th birthday. And it just prolongs the level of performance week in, week for Celtic. And but I take your point on board. And that's really interesting to get a gauge of a guy who doesn't watch Scotland. He's actually encouraged. So I think from a national point of view, that is well done.
John, back to the domestic stuff. What did you make of Trophy Day yesterday? Some of the youngsters on show. And of course, we are into Scottish Cup final week.
Again, the hang me now. The boy Dumbelli was fantastic. Again, I know the future's bright for Scotland. I don't know if that boy's going to go to Scotland or England. I think he's got a choice here, I'm not too sure. But domestically, I think it's fantastic. I think, I mean, Celtic treble what they could be doing. It's phenomenal. But just before I go, Gordon, a wee word for Alec. Alec, did you not consider putting your name in the hat, mate, for the Kilmarnock job? Because the experience I've got and the contacts, no. And I know you. I know.
No, John actually went down and got interviewed with Michael Johnson, the old chairman, at the same time as Mixu Patalainen. About 10 years ago. It was just after the Dundee stint I had. And I enjoyed it. It was a great experience and things, but I'm actually enjoying working with these two characters every week.
Don't want to lose them just yet. Hugh, that's back to what John was saying. At the moment, it looks like Karamoko Dembele will play for England.
Yeah.
We'll deal with that another time. I'm sure there's a lot to happen on that front. But Scottish Cup final week, it's always big.
Yeah.
And you get the sense that because of the form and because of recent results, not many giving Hearts a chance, and that can be dangerous.
Yeah, exactly. Complacency is a dangerous thing in football. It is possible to pick a negative statistic about Hearts. You know, one win in the last 9 league games. 9 points out of the last 42 possible points. So injury problems at Piazza, Ollie Lee. It's at that precise moment you have to stop yourself talking like that and think, well, the cup final's important to them as well. You know, Oran Kearney used a lovely expression at the weekend, the St Mirren manager, when he said of St Mirren and Dundee United, we both have our stories. Hearts and Celtic both have their stories. May 25 is Celtic's story, the most important date in the club's history, and the chance for a treble. But Hearts have their story as well, and they've played Celtic in 2 previous Scottish Cup finals, and Hearts won both.
I do want to squeeze in a couple of thoughts from Twitter. Mick thinks that Cham has played his way into the team. I know Hugh has slammed his attitude, as have I, but I thought he was very good yesterday. Looks fit and lean for the first time in ages.
He looked very interested, and that hasn't been the case of late. I think that Olivier and Cham had a wee look at Karamoko Dembele and thought, I'm not going to be upstaged by a 16-year-old.
And Tony's got a question for you as a midfielder, Alex. What do you think Ewan Henderson needs to improve on to get a good run? His range of passing is terrific. Maybe do what we did with Christie and get him out playing for a top 6 side.
I think that's a brilliant suggestion to put him out, because what it allows him to do is it allows him to play on a weekly basis. He's technically very good. I seen a wee action he did with a wee step up, a wee drag back, and then played it outside his boot. It was brilliant. And you actually see that in... He's been schooled brilliantly. He has to develop, and to get game time, that would actually benefit him greatly.
Right, this has been good fun. Keystore are supporting community football teams across Scotland by offering out grants. Now, you know we feel very strongly about grassroots football and that sort of thing. So for you to win funding for your team, Keystore are asking you to send in videos of your best goal celebrations. Now, all the details are on Clyde1.com/score with Keystore. But the Super Scoreboard team have also been getting involved and giving you your chance to win a hamper worth £250. Grand, jam-packed full of goodies.
Brilliant.
From Keystore. Go to Twitter right now, at ClydeSSB. You will see a video of Mark Wilson, Gordon DL and myself attempting, that's the key word, to recreate a few well-known goal celebrations. I'll put goals 5 aside. You can see one of the attempts on Twitter right now. If you know whose celebration that is, call us now, 01419511025, and you could win that £250 Keystore hamper. You only have until the end of the break, so call now.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation. They know the score. Talk to Thompsons.com.
Alex Ray and Hugh Keevans are here talking football, so give us a shout on the phones or on Twitter. And just before we move on, I want to give you something. I want to give you something for free. So all you had to do to be in with the chance of winning a £250 hamper of snacks and drinks from Keystore was go to our Twitter feed at ClydeSSB and tell us whose goal celebration is Gordon DL trying to recreate. The phone lines have been busy. The first person through is Lee, who's a Rangers fan from Cryston. How are you, Lee?
I'm not bad, Gordon. How are you?
Not too bad at all. Who do you think it was? Who was Gordon trying to recreate the goal celebration of?
The bold Mario Balotelli.
It was the bold Mario Balotelli. You should go and watch the video. He's got the t-shirt, "Why Always Me?" He tries to pull it over his head. He couldn't get it over his big beak. The t-shirt was getting stuck and all the rest of it. We had great fun filming it. And Lee, you are correct. Well done to you.
Thank you, cheers.
Good man, stay on the line. And producer Andy will get your details. That's thanks to Keystore. A £250 hamper, simple as that. Full of snacks and drinks from Keystore.
I need to offer Keystore my apologies.
Alright, okay, what have you done?
I went to pick up the nipper, Ruben, from the nursery. and he wanted to go to Key Store up the road for his sweeties. And let's say he rearranged a sweetie shelf for them. I don't think they were quite prepared for it, but
not in the way that they wanted it.
No. Okay. Sorry about that.
These things happen. Anyway, well done to Lee. Let me quickly get the full time teaser up and running.
Oh, you're excited.
Last week of the
full
time teaser. This one's been sent in by Graham Black from Cope Bridge. He sent it to fulltime@clyde1.com. 11 players have appeared in 37 or 38 of the 38 Premiership matches for their team this season. So we'll call it the almost ever presence. Uh-huh. 11 players have appeared in 37 or 38 of the 38 Premiership matches played by their team this season.
Joe Lewis.
Yes, 37. This is tough. I'm looking at the list. It's tough.
Golson.
Nope.
Tavernier.
Yes, 37 as well. James Tavernier.
Yeah.
Hugh Keevans. Any? I don't like that silence. I must admit, it makes me uneasy. You can play along with us, by the way. We would encourage you to do so. At Clyde SSB, 11 players have appeared in 37 or 38 of the 38 Premiership matches for their team this season. So sub appearances do count.
McKenna?
No.
Considine?
No. Any from you? Can you think of any name? Can you
Ziggy go up?
Do you know he's in 36? I think he just misses out. Great shout.
Scored at the weekend as well. What a great finish.
01419511025. Alex is a St Mirren fan on the line. Hi, Alex.
Hi, good evening, gents. And before I get to the end, have a great summer when it comes to you guys. It's well deserved.
Thank you, Alex.
I'd rather be on the night, Gordon, talking about St Mirren's win at Dens Park Saturday and two games against Dundee United. But instead, what I'm on about tonight is the absolute shambles of the ticketing system that St Mirren have got for season ticket holders. So they've sold season ticket holders' seats for this Sunday's final game, probably the biggest game we've had since we won the league. Online last night, some of the season ticket holder seats have been sold to other fans. It's meant on Twitter today, I've seen where mothers can't sit beside their children now because the mother's seat's been sold. Bulk buying of tickets and pensioners that can't use the online ticketing system can't have their season ticket for this Sunday, although I do believe they've now changed it. The ticket office was open to 4 o'clock today for season ticket holders, and I was down there myself. Gordon Scott popped his head out the door at 10 to 3 with about 100 people. Now, the average queuing time today was 3 hours to get a ticket for the game. 3 hours. Popped his head out at 10 to 4 and then sent two staff out with raffle tickets to go along the queue to come back as a priority on another day. Now, this was already hundreds of guys that were taking the day off work and people that were taking the day off work that can't come back, given a raffle ticket to be a priority. Now, it just smacks about the club thinks of season ticket holders.
Okay, let's try and dissect some of that, Hugh. First of all, we always acknowledge with these things that the club are more than welcome to come on and explain their side of it. Yes. That there are always two sides to the story. Notwithstanding that, though, that sounds like now, a pretty difficult day for St Mirren fans.
Absolutely.
And at a time when they should be able to look forward to going to the game.
Now, Alex, I'm going to have to ask your question because I'm shooting in the dark here and you can help me. On the basis that when you buy your season ticket at the start of this season, you do not know that you're going to be in the playoff final. Is the playoff final actually covered by your season ticket?
No, it wouldn't be, Alex.
It's not, Hugh. And what we've been asking for is that the priority, Dundee United have done this, the priority for season ticket holders at Dundee United is Wednesday night to collect your tickets if you want to go to the game against St Mirren on Sunday. So they've got until Wednesday night. We've got a tighter turnaround to go to their ground, and that's a different issue which I'll not go into. But for our home game, the club have come out yesterday and said there was a glitch in the computer system that released the season ticket holder seats before they had the chance to buy them themselves. So it's not covered under the ticket. But a glitch. I must admit, I don't believe that. I think somebody's just pressed a button here and not thought the implications. and when you're trying to buy tickets, even for the Dundee United game, we've only got 1,200 tickets, which is nowhere near enough. Mm. But you're only allowed to buy one ticket. I've got 5 season tickets in my family. I can only buy one ticket online.
Why is that? Is you not able to? Is it not X amount per season ticket?
No, what you can do, Gordon, some people have done it, is you can create an account with more than one person linked in, so that, say, if there was games during the year but you wanted to go and take 3-4 people with you, then you would use the online ticketing system. But there's been massive issues with that as well. There's been stories of people refreshing it 20, 30 times to get one ticket. By the time they get through, they've been charged 4 times when they've only been wanting to buy one ticket because they've refreshed it.
Yeah, I mean, I was reading a lot on social media about it, Alex, reading some of the comments. And again, we welcome someone from the club can come on and explain it. We will look into it. But at the same time, Alex Ray,
yeah,
it's just a shame for fans like Alex and others to be
in this situation,
building up to the game in this way.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I was up at Dundee at the weekend, Gordon. I thought some of them were brilliant on the day. You know, they looked to have momentum. 3 draws, 3 wins out of the last 6. They're getting into this in good form. And then you got Alex coming on talking about the problems with season tickets and the issue and standing for 3 hours. The issues with buying it online for certain people as well. And it's not ideal. And I've got a friend who's a Dundee United fan, Gordon, and they're kind of up in arms as well because of the allocation they've got coming down here, because both sets of fans travel in their numbers here. I think there was about 2,500 at the weekend. So this isn't ideal, but I think St Mirren will be trying to work on this, Gordon, because it's clearly not working.
What about on the pitch then, Alex, when hopefully it all gets sorted out and you get to go to the game? What are you expecting? How are the nerves a few days out?
Listen, Gordon, I don't think there's a lot of people who get nervous about the game just now because they've got nervous about trying to get a ticket to the game. But, you know, if you think about the game, I'm really confident. As Alex said, we're in a great run just now, and that's why we should be on here talking about the job Oran Kearney's done since his own transfer window in January. The confidence that's running through the team, 6 games unbeaten, big results when we need it. I'm really confident we'll go up with Dundee and get a draw, and we'll bring them back home and we'll beat them by a goal or 2 goals at home. That's where I'm with. I don't think that we're going to lose the games, but we're certainly going to lose the confidence of the fans, because people can't get to the game. And there's a lot of people now saying they're just going to watch the games on satellite TV rather than try and get a ticket, which is a travesty. It's the 2 biggest games of the season for us.
Oh, yeah, I mean, Hugh, these talk about season-defining games. You either go up or you go down as a result of them, so they're massive.
The more Alec goes into this ticketing situation, the more I would like to hear from someone at St Mirren just to patiently explain what is going on. Has anything gone wrong? Has there been a mistake? If there's a glitch in a piece of machinery, then I'm very much afraid that that's what comes with the territory. But it would require someone with a greater knowledge of these matters.
Especially someone who's as anti-technology as you, to be fair.
Especially a complete Luddite chancer like me. It requires someone from St Mirren to say, look, this was the intention. Because I'm going right back to the start here. If you don't know you're in the playoff final, when you buy your season ticket at the start of the season and your playoff final is not covered by the season ticket, then if the club sell that seat,
but generally you would expect a season ticket to have some sort of priority. That's the problem. Anyway, thank you very much to Alex in Kirkdonald. We wish you well. We hope you get sorted out. 01419511025. Some good answers coming in at Clyde SSB. Guys, trying to help you out on this full time teaser. 11 players have appeared in 37 or 38 of the 38 Premiership matches for their team this season. You've got Joe Lewis and James Tavernier.
John Souter.
No, nope. He's injured for a while, Hugh, wasn't he? I'm just
Tony Andrew.
Mm-mm. No. Backman.
Nope.
Motherwell.
I mean, these guys have done really well, because if you think about it, Backman didn't play yesterday. So all that means is one other game that he didn't feature in, and he's out the list.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of goalkeepers, because you tend to get that.
But I'll give you a clue. Joe Lewis is your only goalkeeper, would you believe? I thought there would be way more than that, but he's the only goalkeeper.
What about the boy, the midfielder for Hamilton? Aggressive.
No.
McKinnon.
No.
Gary McKinnon.
No, no, no.
Livingston, Hugh. Who's at Livingston?
Declan Gallagher.
All 38. Played in all 38 games, Declan Gallagher.
Here you go. A good wee team us too, aren't we?
Self praises, no praise me.
Craig Halkett?
No. He's just a couple behind.
Declan McManus.
I don't know who he plays for in the top flight. He's not one.
No.
No, I don't mean him. Who do you mean? Declan Gallagher.
You've already said him, and he's right.
Declan Gallagher. Pittman, the boy in midfield.
Scott Pittman.
Yeah.
He played 38 games. Well done. All right, that's a good start. Joe Lewis, Declan Gallagher, Scott Pittman, James Tavernier. Let's take a call from Derek in Cathcart. Hi, Derek.
Hi there, Gordon. Good evening, Hugh. Good evening, Alex.
Hi, Derek.
It's the Steve Clark appointment again. I know there's been a lot of calls about it tonight, but the one thing I really hope is that, well, it probably won't, but we avoid the circus that went round with Alex McLeish. And I always felt at times we're just too quick to pull the plug. And I really, really hope that Steve Clark does get, obviously, the full backing of everybody, but he gets time to do the job. I really think that is very, very important. Irrespective of if we get a few dodgy results on the way, we just have to take that on the chin and just go on with it.
As I say, if you've been 21 years away from the major championships, then it's not going to be fixed in 21 days. There will have to be understanding. But I think that Steve Clark goes into this with two terrific years behind him at Kilmarnock, and he has the trust of not just people who support Kilmarnock, but others who look at him and think he's a solid manager, all right. So I don't think there'd be any clamour for his head. If we lost to Belgium in Brussels and they're the number one ranked international team in the world, that's no surprise at all. So we can get over that and we can move on.
What does success look like, or what's the criteria, Alex? Because we've got a really strange setup now. We're in the playoffs already, yes, for the Nations League, but that's still to come. If you take the conventional campaign, you could say that we're already behind because,
absolutely, because of the Kazakhstan.
A defeat against Kazakhstan is going to make qualifying pretty hard from that,
absolutely,
group. So I don't know, at what point, what's deemed success, what's deemed failure?
If we beat the teams that we're expected to beat and maybe nick a positive result against Belgium, maybe at home, or, you know, I'm
Russia,
talking about Russia, you know. So you're looking at the A1s, Gordon, because you want to beat the teams round about you or below you for starters. If anything, there was a hiccup along the way, then people will start, oh, here we go again. But see, Derek's point, I said to you earlier on, you don't get time. That's the thing, you do not get time. People are quick to judge. We live in an age now where social media does, but wrong man, he's this, he's that, and the next thing. And unfortunately, you just don't get it.
I would summarise it, Gordon, by saying, do what you should do, mm-hmm, beat those you should beat, and then go on, surprises, yes, beat someone that you shouldn't beat. And let's take it step at a time and start from that basis and not put the man under pressure to definitely qualify for the next tournament. But we understand he's a solid appointment.
What do you think, Derek?
Yeah, I agree with that. Absolutely, 100%. It's... I think perhaps what Steve Clark did with Kilmarnock, it was a good bit of pragmatism about, he played to their strengths. Maybe it wasn't always the flow in football, but just look at the success that they had, getting a total of, I think it was 67 points. Well, I hope he actually approaches the Scotland job just in that same way. And, well, we can only just support him now.
How important is it, though, that we identify the possibility that you don't just transfer all your success from Kilmarnock, because it's an extremely different job?
Sure.
And we talk about players, the challenge.
Yes.
I don't think I'm being unfair on guys like Andy Robertson, who his game at club level is just completely different. For a start, he's playing with better players, we acknowledge, mm-hmm, that. But he's asked to do a different job in a different way. And sometimes when you then come into a national team, people say, oh, Andy Robertson, it's not the same Andy Robertson, yeah, that plays for Liverpool, because that's unavoidable. What about the possibility of that happening to the manager? Because it's completely different skill set, completely different circumstances.
But you look at this guy's backstory. You look at the places he's been. You look at the managers he's worked under. You look at what he did at West Brom on his own. And you look at the last 2 years of his life. This guy is dependable, solid, trustworthy.
Thank you, Derek and Cathcart. Let's try and make progress on the teaser. Remember, you can play with us at Clyde SSB. 11 players have appeared in 37 or 38 of the 38 matches for their teams in the Premiership this season. So guys like Joe Lewis, Declan Gallagher, Scott Pittman, James Tavernier,
Paul McGinn.
Nope, he's not far off.
Stephen McGinn.
Nope. He had the old hernia up.
Is it Forrest? The right back at Richie. The right back at St Johnson.
Oh, Richard Foster.
Foster.
Yep, 37 games for him.
Shock. Shock. I was just trying to think who else it could be.
Couple of other full backs. It's got a very defensive look about it, this list.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Lewis Stevenson.
No. Oh.
Gray.
Generally, no.
Oh, I thought I had that there. Do you see the excitement in my face?
I did. Alright, we'll get the rest of the answers next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Win the compensation you deserve. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. On the day Stevie Clark was named as the new Scotland manager, Hugh and Alex couldn't give a monkeys about that because they're distracted now with the full-time teaser. If you've got a question and you want to hear it used on the show, please send it to fulltime@clyde1.com. That's fulltime@clyde1.com. Tonight's question is this: 11 players have appeared in 37 or 38 of the 38 games played by their team in the Premiership this season. So they're ever present or almost ever present. Guys like Joe Lewis, Declan Gallagher, Scott Pittman, James Tavernier, Richard Foster.
Has one of them been on this programme tonight? And his name is Stephen O'Donnell.
Yes, he's probably flying out on his holiday right now, but he's on the list. He's got 37 appearances.
I think he'd be sat in the bar right now, wouldn't he?
Perhaps. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to go.
Jeez, oh.
Give you another clue. No Celtic and no more Rangers.
That definitely helps.
It just saves you wasting any time thinking about it.
Hibs. Who we got at Hibs? Stevie Mallon.
Yes. 37 appearances for Stevie Mallon.
I would never have had that.
A tweet came in from Hugh on Twitter. It said Stevie Mallon must, and he put it in capital letters, must be right for the teaser. You know, it was right. There we go.
That's not bad. 4 to go, Hugh.
Any more cabbage and ribs?
No. 4 to go, and only 2 teams represented. So you can, I don't know if that really makes any difference.
Dundee's had about 300 players playing this year. This season.
It is safe to say it's not Dundee. Kenny Miller came closest, I think, but even he's a good bit short.
No St Mirren players either with the turnover, eh?
Okay, let's take a call from Robert in Bayliston. Hi, Robert.
Good evening, Gordon. How are you?
Yeah, good, Robert. What's on your mind?
Oh, thanks. It's regarding the Celtic manager's job. I really can't see by Neil Lennon not getting the job. Neil Lennon has vast experience. Why spend $3 million, whatever it is, on bringing in one of these big names or a David Moyes when the man's already in place? He's up against a rookie manager in terms of Gerrard for Rangers, and I don't think Celtic need to go and bring in that kind of money to attract a name that doesn't know Scottish football.
I would not bring Steven Gerrard's name into this. You know, I mean, it's for Celtic to appoint the best manager they can. I do agree that this is Scotland and there is a limit to the amount of money that you can devote to these things.
The thing is, Hugh, he's got, Neil Lennon has been there and done it.
I understand that, and I do think that he's still in pole position. And given the unique remit here, the remit is win the league for the next 2 seasons and give Celtic 10 in a row. Neil Lennon understands this country, and he understands the way the Celtic fans think, and he would be delighted to be that man if he could get 10 in a row. He would then be not just an icon, but he'd be immortal.
His CV is excellent in comparison with Celtic's history and what he's done as a player and a manager. So why bounce David Moyes' name about, for instance, you know, when the man who's already done it is there?
Well, lots of tweets in asking about David Moyes, Hugh, because he was at the game and he's in Glasgow this weekend. Well, he was at the awards due last night, so it can be coincidence. It might not be.
He is a Glaswegian after all, and his family live here. His brother lives here. But I mean, Alan Pardew turned up at Celtic Park yesterday. I mean, but I don't think he's in the frame either. I go back to my "this is Scotland" argument. You're not entitled, if you're Peter Lawwell and Dermot Desmond, to be paying 7, 8, 9, 10 million pounds per season to a manager who would then want a huge amount of money to spend in the transfer market. Celtic have an obligation to look after the club as a whole. Neil Lennon, I think, would be a reasonable appointment for Celtic to make. And the longer it goes on, I know that the longer it goes on, Jim Duffy says that he thinks, well, he's not the man. Mm-hmm. But the longer it goes on, the more I'm thinking, he is the man.
Robert, just to try and look at the other side of the argument, and granted, I'm not in recruitment, but if you were trying to recruit someone for any job, surely before you get to anything else at all, your number one priority, right at the top of the list, get the best person for the job, right? Now, if you're limiting that to someone who has been here before or so-called understands the Scottish game, does that not provide a risk of missing out on the best man for the job?
Well, it's the way you look at it, Gordon. The thing is, Steven Gerrard is a young rookie manager, and that's why I used his name. He's won nothing. He's new to the job. Neil Lennon has vast experience. So, you know, all these names that are getting bandied about, they really don't know a lot about Scottish football. He does. He's been there and done it. That's my point.
The counter-argument to that would be Neil Lennon came in as a rookie manager and took on Walter Smith. So, you know, they have to start somewhere. But for Celtic, in terms of what Robert's talking about there, I said a few weeks ago, when Brendan Rodgers left, everybody was going, loyalty's out the window. This guy's come in. He's took them to 8 in a row. He's got them into the final. He's did what he says, as Hugh rightly says. And for me, if you want to show loyalty to, he's just mentioned Robert, a guy who's done it and seen it, then give it to Neil Lennon.
I'll ask you two the question though that I asked Robert, and this is not really about Neil Lennon. I'm just talking generally.
You're right.
If your priority is to get the best man for the job, why aren't you running a risk if you're only willing to assess candidates who've been here before or who know the Scottish game? There are loads of great managers who don't know the Scottish game who could come in and win 9 and 10 in a row.
Yeah, sure. I'm honestly flummoxed by this whole situation. Now, we started with Mourinho, Benitez, Davy Moyes.
Just waiting on your name getting mentioned.
Yeah. I'd take Alec with me as my number two.
Yeah, that would go down well. Yeah.
So I still think, and these things are notorious for blowing up in your face, but I still think that Neil Lennon is in pole position.
Thank you very much, Robert and Bayliston. We'll leave it there because we are running out of time. We are on Twitter at Clyde SSB, and still lots of reaction coming in to Stevie Clark's appointment. Mighty Well says, surely this is the right man at the right time to get us playing the right way, onwards and upwards. And Katic is on. He says, Ryan Jack will be the main man under Stevie Clark. Watch this space. Watch it, we will, well, because the squad will be announced pretty soon, yeah, Hugh Keevans.
If Ryan Jack's the man, good for him. But it'll take more than Ryan Jack, you know. But I am confident in Steve Clark. As I say, examine the CV. Look at the places he's been. Look at the calibre of men that he's worked with. Look at what he did in his own at West Brom. Look what he's done in his own at Kilmarnock.
You have got 4 answers left to get on the teaser. You've got 7 of the 11 of the almost ever presents.
Any St Johnson players there, Gordon?
2 more.
Oh, Shaughnessy?
No.
Murray Davidson?
No. Not Liam Craig either. He was close though.
Who's the left back, Gordon?
That's the one you're looking for.
No, I know.
And his pal next to him.
Shaughnessy, and I know the boy.
Who's the young centre back that's been impressing?
Kerr.
Yep, Jason Kerr. And what about the left back?
Sure, I know this. I know.
Scored recently.
Yeah, he scored a pile driver.
No, penalty against Motherwell, wasn't it? I think.
Right. Okay.
I think maybe I've got my wires crossed.
Right, anyway, I'm toiling.
You've got 2 Motherwell players as well still to get, and you've better get them quickly.
Aldred.
Yep.
Oh, lovely.
There's another one who's got 38 appeared in every game.
38.
Again, he's a fullback. We used to know him as a right back, but now he plays left back. Captain's the team most weeks.
Come on, Chew.
Initials. It's time for initials,
yes,
isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yes.
RT.
Tate.
Richard Tate. Well done. And the St Johnson one. Initials. ST.
Tanzer.
Scott Tanzer, well done. There we go. Thank you, Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray. Busy, busy show. So thank you for your calls. Apologies if you didn't get through. We are back tomorrow night from 6 o'clock, but stay where you are because Callum has another set of VIP Transmit tickets to give away, and joined by singer-songwriter Georgia as well.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Get the result you deserve. Talk to Thompson's.com.